All right, and welcome back. Thanks so much for listening again to a Blue Valley Toddcast. Today we have a special subject for us to talk about, really talking about the future of the Blue Valley schools and as it relates to a bond issue that we have before our voters come this January of 2020. And so today we have a very special guest, our Chief Facilities and Finance and Operations Officer. Welcome, sir. How are you? Mr. Kyle Hayden.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, before we get going, because you've joined us this year, so let's talk a little bit about where you've been and some experiences that you have had. So our listeners can get to know you a little bit better. So you actually were here in Blue Valley at one point, right?
I was. Late 90s, I was teaching at Blue Valley High School, Social Studies Department, and I met my wife there. And,
hey, there you go. Yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah, say no more, right?
Yeah.
But I taught with some great people, too. Scott Roberts, yeah. Who's a principal out at Southwest now. Yeah. Diana Tate.
Principal
at Aubrey Benz.
That's an all-star lineup.
Mark Dalton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then our next superintendent, Tony Merrigan.
Yeah. So, oh, that's right. Yeah.
But, I was there at a good time.
Fantastic. So you and your wife then left Blue Valley, and where'd you go?
I could go on about this one. So we traveled to Texas for a couple years. My wife's mom was down there retired, mm-hmm. and so we had aspirations of doing something different. So mm-hmm. after 2 years, though, and our first child, we came back, wanted to raise our family in Kansas. Nice. I bounced around a little bit with different administrative jobs. So I only taught for 5 years and took the administrative mm-hmm. track pretty quickly. That was my passion, and I liked it more than teaching and coaching. And
sure.
So,
sure.
Any case, ended up a superintendent in Ellis for a few years, mm-hmm. a superintendent in Tonganoxie for a few years, then went to Lawrence as a chief operations officer there in a really similar capacity to this new job for me. Mm-hmm. I was there for 8 years and started here July 1st.
Awesome. Well, great. The reason why I wanted you to tell that story, Kyle, is because you do have a wealth of experience that we can certainly draw on here in Blue Valley, and really have kind of put it to use right at the start because of this bond issue that we're running. You know, this bond issue covers basically three particular areas for us. We talk about the opportunity to kind of reimagine learning, and so there's a good section of that in there. And actually, this is a little plug. We'll be talking to Dr. Katie Collier, who joined us this year. And in our next podcast, we'll talk a little bit more in depth about that reimagining piece. So listening and looking for that as it comes up. The other part is reinforce, and that's a lot about safety and security that we want to make sure that we attend to in this bond issue. And I'll just put a little plug in there that we surveyed our staff, and we know that we have some opportunities to improve. And one of the things is door locks. You know, most of our buildings were built at the time when we didn't think about safety and security the way we do today. And so most of those lock from the hallway or the outside of the classroom. And so with kind of rethinking and certainly learning from experiences around, unfortunately, around our country, thumb locks, bolt, our doors are something we're going to invest in. And we have about 70% of our classroom doors that don't have those bolts on them, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We're one of our first projects out of the chute is going to be to install those thumb turn locks mm-hmm. at all of our high schools. So
excellent.
That's about $2 million of investment there, and it'll happen first summer. So we're excited about getting that.
Great. Well, I know our staff are excited about that and have certainly wanted us to do that. So reinforcement is certainly a part of it. But then we have reinvestment. And so that's really what we wanted to talk to you today about with our listeners and with Kyle, is to kind of go through what all of that reinvestment looks like. You know, we have relatively really good buildings in Blue Valley. But they're also starting to age a little bit. I think, what is it? The average age of our buildings is somewhere in the
25 to 30 year range.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. And yeah, that, you know, just in getting to know the district, we do have outstanding facilities, some of the best conditioned schools I've seen. And just, we've, you know, I think Blue Valley's done a really nice job of planning and taking care of their stuff. And this is just another opportunity to make sure we continue to take care of things and create the type of learning environments that our kids and our teachers deserve.
Sure. Well, we all know, just like our own homes, if we don't make sure that we maintain them, have a good roof, have good shelter, make sure they're, you know, dry where they need to be dry and all those sorts of things, then it can start to take a toll. And so this is an important opportunity for us to continue to maintain our buildings. So let's talk a little bit more about that, because you've certainly been, you know, knee deep into the planning of this bond and the work that would ensue should our voters give us the opportunity to do that. So let's just kind of walk our listeners through kind of the schedule and some of the activities that we'll be doing to preserve and enhance our buildings.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's been happening right from the get-go. So when I came in July, we were hiring architect and construction firms, and they've been really good partners to this point, working with our facility staff and myself. And, you know, at this point, you know, we're trying to get a pretty early jump on the design efforts so that, you know, upon successful passage of this bond in January, that we could bid some projects right away, start construction in the summer. So right now, design efforts are in place for about $60 million worth of work. You know, including elementary school number 24.
Right.
It's about a $25 million new school. Help us with our growth out there on the south and west part of our district. We have about $8 million going into an addition at Blue Valley High School, a much needed addition there that will replace 10 mobiles. That have been there since I was teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's stop and talk about that for a second, because we've Blue Valley High, being kind of the flagship or the oldest school that we've had, has had those mobiles out there for, as you say, a good number of years.
Yeah.
And how many? What are there, 10 teaching spaces out there currently?
Yeah, 10 teaching spaces. They've been there for 20 years.
Wow.
And yeah, this is a real opportunity for Blue Valley High for us to make a big splash that is much needed. So, you know, we're looking at a 12 classroom addition, and so we'll not only replace the 10, we'll get two, actually hopefully two more interior beyond that, so we'll end up with 14 classrooms. You know, they do have some capacity issues now, and so this will address all that. Plus, it's going to create a classroom addition that's fairly modern. I mean, it's going to have a modern feel to it. Mm-hmm. It's not just a real traditional feel of, you know, a double-loaded corridor. It's going to have some flexible learning spaces. It's going to have a lot of natural daylight. It's going to be transparency between classrooms and corridors, between classroom to classroom. So it's going to look a lot like what we're trying to do with our flexible learning environments in our elementary schools.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a common approach.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, I know that we've got some folks around town that went to school in those mobiles and are anxious to see them become more permanent. You know, I've always said that there's nothing more permanent than a temporary mobile classroom, and this certainly begs true here. And but we also have some additional auxiliary spaces that'll be occurring in our high school. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we planned for three auxiliary gyms to be added on to our three oldest high schools. So Blue Valley High would get an auxiliary gym, Blue Valley North and Blue Valley Northwest. Mm-hmm. And each one of those is about a $5 million project. We're really wanting it to serve as a multi-purpose space that they can use for a lot of different things. I think they're squeezed pretty tight for our student activities, extracurricular activities, you know, not just your basketball, volleyball, but extending to your dance, your cheer. We look at this as an opportunity also for space for, you know, your robotics clubs or people, you know, those things that are growing programs that may not be in the athletics realm, but they just need some open space, some square footage.
Exactly.
And so, There's an opportunity there for those things to happen. Blue Valley North and Northwest were in design for their gyms already, and we would start construction on those next fall. And so Blue Valley High would be the next summer after that. We want to get that addition done first. Mm-hmm. And then Blue Valley High, we're looking at some performing arts modifications, trying to upgrade their spaces and maybe get a little addition on the performing arts side, which I know there's a lot of interest in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so we've got a lot of things going with respect to this reinvestment piece, and really is a great opportunity to touch a lot of buildings and make sure that equity is a part of this bond issue as well. I know that our board has charged us with that. We've charged our partners with that. So you mentioned that when you came in this summer, we were interviewing firms. And so talk a little bit about the people that you're working with. We've got Hollis and Miller as an architect. We have J.E. Dunn Construction as our construction partner. Talk a little bit about them.
Yeah, Hollis and Miller Architects have the bulk of this bond 2020 and really have everything except for Elementary School 24. Right. And that's Gould Evans and McCown Gordon Construction are managing that.
Two other really good partners for us.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And so we really enjoyed working with them. I've worked with both in the past and had successful projects with them, and so I really appreciate their lens on educational programming and what they bring to the table as far as the engagement with our staff and with our academic services. I think, you know, they serve as really good representatives of what we're trying to accomplish and forward thinking. So, it's been good. The efforts have been pretty stellar, and it's been fast, and so they're working hard. Another major project that's happening is 19 flexible learning environments at our elementary schools. So we had two that were already accomplished in the last couple of years that were major projects. Each of these 19 schools will have about $2 million invested in creating some connections between classrooms and corridors, classroom to classroom, and hopefully that will impact just the collaborative approach that teachers take, and that we can get, you know, students out of the box a little bit as far as their classroom space and blending with other students in other classrooms. So it's in small groups instruction, and so it's a real opportunity there to make a big splash with our elementary schools.
You know, I think that's an important point that I just want to make sure that we stop and concentrate on here just for a second for our listeners, is that in school districts that are growing like ours, this notion that the new school or the new design elements always go to those areas that have the growth. And again, our Board of Education charged us with making sure that equity was felt throughout this bond issue. And so the design elements that you just described with those flexible learning environments, some of the other spaces that you described for our secondary schools is an important aspect of this, so that we make sure that students that are in the northern part of our district are receiving the same attention of flexible space and collaborative learning environments like others are that are more fast-growing. And so I think that that's a really good point that you bring up. It's certainly been a part of the planning, and certainly that's been conveyed to our partners along the way.
Yeah, there's a couple components of that that just go beyond just the brick and mortar stuff, the technology component. So we're looking at some different solutions there, kind of leaning more towards flat panels and having multiple in a classroom. Flexible furniture that's, you know, movable and put in different configurations, another large component of this. And so and we have some, you know, some good people within our district that can help us, you know, execute on those things. So there's a lot of conversations with that. And, you know, beyond all that, you go back to just a lot of the mechanical, electrical, plumbing. It's, you know, it's not the, you know, the things that people maybe want to have a lot of conversation about until they need it.
On those cold mornings or the really hot days,
Absolutely. Yeah. So you want that stuff working. you know, those are things that become really a big nuisance and
exactly.
can really and distract, you know, what we want to accomplish every day. Every minute and every hour is important. So we don't want leaky roofs. We don't want, you know, cold rooms or hot rooms. Mm-hmm. And so that's important, and we're going to invest in those things.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful opportunity for us. So a little bit of the nuts and bolts, if you will, about this particular bond issue. As we've described, we've got three main areas that we are covering, kind of the reimagining, which is the academic service component to this. The reinforcement is the safety and security, and the reinvestment is the impact back to our building maintenance programs and preservation, if you will, of the assets that we have. And it's a mail-in ballot. And so what that means is that if you're a registered voter by December 27th, as a registered voter in Blue Valley, you will actually receive a ballot in the mail. Should arrive on or about January the 8th, and we'll be providing more information out to our public to be looking for that in the mail, and then returned by January the 28th at noon. And we're really looking forward for the opportunity to continue to not only preserve and reinforce, but also accentuate the learning and the opportunities that we have for our kids here in Blue Valley. Just a couple of other things that I think are worth noting, and I know, Kyle, in your former role as a superintendent, we know that these things are critically important. You know, Standard & Poor's and Moody's are rating agencies, and they rate all of the municipal bonds that are put forth by school districts. And thankfully, through great stewardship by people that preceded us, boards of education and superintendents and Jenny Newell, they've done a great job in our business department. And what we are the beneficiary of is two of the highest ratings that any school district can achieve. And I think, quite honest, I believe this to be true, that there were the only school district in Kansas that has that high of a rating. So it's kind of like what it does with your personal, you know, credit rating, is that the higher the score, the better the interest rate,
absolutely,
the greater the opportunity to sell those bonds, and we're a good investment. And so we really appreciate the people that have gone before us, but now they've given us the torch, and it's certainly in our hands to make sure that we can continue to do that.
Right. No pressure, right?
Yeah, no pressure. But we got great plans to be able to do that. So we're paying off debt early and recouping some great benefits from that. And that's also a part of this. So we've got a great program element to this, reinforcement, reinvestment, and reimagining of it. But it's also a no tax rate increase. Mm-hmm. So talk just a little bit about what does that mean? What does no tax rate increase actually mean?
Yeah, well, you know, fortunately this year the board made the decision even to lower the mill rate in
right.
the bond and interest fund. And and then as we're going after, you know, this bond election, why we're going to, you know, try to create a scenario where that doesn't go up,
correct,
you know, in the years that come. And so we think we're really well positioned with that. The amount that is being asked of voters is smaller than what it's been in the past.
Correct.
And we're, like I talked earlier, we're in a design situation where we're just trying to hit the ground running. And we're hoping to accomplish all these projects within 42 months. And so, you know, you're looking by August of 22 or 23, why we will be really on the tail end of this thing and have accomplished almost $187 million worth of work. And so with, you know, a mill rate that's less than what it was last year. And so,
that's correct.
Yeah, so we're, I think, in a good spot. I thought, you know, when I was in Lawrence, I thought we had done a really good job, but we had a double A and it's triple A here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, wow, okay,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a high bar here, and, we hope to, maintain that.
Yeah. You brought up a good point. This bond issue is a little different than those that we've run in the past. And part of that is the charge from our board to make sure that we can be agile, that we can address needs quicker, if you will, than what we've done in the past. What we mean by that, in the past, we've generally programmed or we've put in place about a 5 to 6 year plan for a particular bond issue. This year, this bond issue is to be programmed in about 3 years, which means we'll either start the projects or finish them within 3 years. So you mentioned 42 months, so that we believe that we can get all of those done within that time frame. And that's really moving at a fast pace, quite honestly, when you think about 19 buildings and you think about all of the things we're trying to do. But we were really challenged by our board that we wanted students to see the benefits of the items that we were talking about. You mentioned the thumb locks and the security. So sometimes, like in the last bond issue that the voters graciously allowed us to do in 2012, if you were a seventh grade student in 2012, you may have gone through your high school experience with us and never seen any of the benefit of the bond issue. And so we're trying to make sure that every student, back to that equity, making sure that every student, every building, every community has an opportunity to see a positive effect by this. And got great partners in Hollis and Miller and J.E. Dunn, Gould Evans, and Mikhail Gorn that are going to help us do that. And
there were a couple. I didn't mention Kevin Cowan Architects is helping thank us you. With this first great. Four FLEs this summer and have been a nice local partner for us. Sure. I've worked with them a lot in the past. And then Henderson Engineers is the engineering firm that's doing a lot of this mechanical, electrical, plumbing stuff, and they're really advanced in how they think about education and technology in classroom. And so we're, fortunate to have all of them.
That's great. And you mentioned, that we've actually kind of started some of the work. I just want people to know that in previous bond issue, in that 2012 bond, there was money allocated to program some of these elements that we're talking about doing, whether it be the elementary school or some of the improvements that we've talked about to the HVAC side and those sorts of things, as well as we've got some money in this bond issue that will help program additional buildings, the next opportunity. So I think it's a great way that Blue Valley has done that. So, again, you can begin that process, and should we be lucky enough and fortunate enough to receive approval from our voters to move forward, boy, we can, again, like you said, those thumb locks, they can be used next school year, which is just awesome for us to be able to do that in a quick turnaround. So, well, Kyle, as we kind of wind this down, anything that we haven't talked about that we might need to cover as we think about the reinvestment of facilities and the bond moving forward?
Well, I think you touched upon one thing that I think is a good term to use is being responsive, first of all, to our needs and being able to be agile and adjust quickly. I think this bond helps us with that and it helps us to be pretty forward thinking. And I kind of act in a more of a sense of urgency, and think about the kids we have in the system right now and making an impact on their experience every day. So, I've enjoyed it to this point, looking forward to digging in and doing more. And, from a financial perspective, I think that, we should be very proud in Blue Valley of where we stand and, the work that's been done before. And I hope to continue down that same path.
Yeah, you bet. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Kyle. We're certainly the beneficiaries of your expertise and your experience and look forward to that. And we look forward to this bond issue and the opportunity for our community to continue to invest in our future with our students. And we love working for our parents and our community and think this is just another great opportunity for us to continue to be distinguished in many ways like we are here in Blue Valley. So thanks very much, Kyle, our Chief Finance and Operations Officer. We greatly appreciate it. We thank you for listening. And as I said, next time we'll have an opportunity to speak to Dr. Katie Collier, who has joined us and now is working as our Chief Academic Services Officer, and we'll talk a little bit more about that reimagining learning that is going on in this bond issue. So until then, go out and make it a Blue Valley best day.